Welcome to The Marriage Fix, where Christian married couples allow God to repair their union. I'm James.
And I'm Katrina.
Coming to the tool shed. We come to you every week with podcasts on how to build a kingdom marriage. So tune in with your spouse and let them know that your union is about to be leveled up.
Here at The Marriage Fix, our goal is to shed some light on what really goes down in marriage.
That's right.
You'll hear our story, the good, the bad, and the light at the end of the tunnel. You'll hear how we overcame our struggles and how you and your spouse can thrive in marriage again. Yes, it is possible.
It is possible.
Right, babe? You're already encouraged because you're listening to our podcast.
That's right.
We want to inspire and empower healthy married couples out there to stay in their union. Remember the covenant you made with God, and we're rooting for you every step of the way.
That's right. And here's the deal. We are Christian followers. We believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, His living word, and the Holy Bible. Restoring marriages is our ministry, and you'll be hearing the word of God every single podcast. That's right. Every single podcast, you will hear the word of God here at The Marriage Fix.
That's right, honey.
That's right. So we are The Marriage Fix, and welcome to The Marriage Fix, and thanks for coming into the tool shed, where we hand out tools to fix your marriage and help you grow in the word of God.
That's right.
And I'm James.
I'm Katrina.
And again, we are The Marriage Fix. And if you have not already subscribed, go ahead and do that now so you can be aware when we release our newest episodes. If you haven't heard what you want to hear by now, just wait, because you definitely will. So go ahead and hit that button to follow and subscribe to The Marriage Fix. So how you doing, babe?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How you feeling, honey?
I'm great. We're just coming off of a holiday weekend.
Yes.
We had the Super Bowl, and then we have Valentine's Day.
I know. And then there's another long weekend with President's Day this Monday.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And how was your Valentine's Day?
Oh, it was wonderful, honey.
Was it?
Yes. But you make every day like Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you, honey.
It was just like us doing what we do, but it was just Valentine's Day.
All right. Don't tell them what I did now.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And who do you think Valentine's Day is for?
It's for lovers. It's for those who love each other to express how they feel of one another. And this could be, of course, romantic lovers, spouses, and significant others. But it's also, we love our, like, Galentine's Day for our friends, girlfriends, our children. Mm. It can even be fondness of coworkers, our pets even.
Oh, I never heard that before.
Yes, honey, people love their pets. They're like members of the family.
So give them like doggy treats and chocolate doggy treats and stuff?
Yeah, like a dog, like a pup cup. You know, those little pup cups at Starbucks. They have like the cup of whipped cream. Those dogs love those things. You have someone who has a dog, and they'll get their Starbucks, and then they'll get a little pup cup for their dog. It's really just whipped cream.
Nice.
They love it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We used to give our dog leftovers.
Hey, they like that too.
A good table food.
Mm-hmm. You know?
But as a guy, I think Valentine's Day is a day that we do the things that we normally do. You know, what we don't do, forgot how to do, or forced to do. So luckily I'm in that category that I normally do.
Oh, you know, absolutely. But. You're in a good category. Oh man. Force, that has to be rough.
Yeah, but today's episode is called Before the Altar.
That's right.
Before the Altar. And it was taken from the scripture Luke 5:37-9. So that is what we're tackling today. But before we get started, you know, we usually go into our prayer. So let's do that now. Let's go ahead and go into prayer before we start the podcast. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for using us in your kingdom, Lord. Thank you for girding us up this far and giving us your grace. Lord, your word says that for where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. Fill us with the anointing and power so that those who have ears to hear can hear. Let your Holy Spirit take full control over us and let him speak, not us. You know the needs of everyone listening to this podcast, and we submit ourselves to you so that you can use us in whichever way you want to. We choose to glorify only you, Lord. Thank you for girding us up in your grace, power, and strength, and that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And we take victory in your mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That was wonderful, honey.
Awesome.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so today's scripture is coming from Luke 5:37-39. And let's get into that right now. It says, "And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better." And we are reading from the King James Version of that scripture.
That's right.
And so Matthew 9:17 says, "Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved." And so you can't put your old self into your new life. So wow. Again, we are coming from before the altar, the old and the new.
That's right.
Okay. Marriage requires change. Marriage requires change.
It requires it. Yes.
Do you remember before your altar?
Vaguely. You know, it's as more and more time, it's starting to kind of, like if you imagine you're on a boat and you're drifting out, not drifting, but you're going, like if you're on a cruise ship or a boat and you're going out, sailing out into the sea, off into the horizon, and the shore goes farther and farther away. If the shore is my life as a single, kind of getting farther and farther away. So the land is getting smaller and smaller and smaller as we're going off into, you know, the new.
Very nice. I like that analogy. It sounds like oneness, like you're going into oneness.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's like, I still remember it. It's pretty fresh, but it's starting to become vague.
Okay.
As we, you know, we get more and more, as you and I grow together and do life together, you know, we have just nourishing our marriage. We have our kids and just our day-to-day life. And it's just as wonderful as it is. It's just, and my single season was joyous as well. Praise the Lord. But it is becoming vague.
Okay. That's great. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And the thing about it is that when you do get married, there's a change that happens when you get married. Anyone who's been married before or is married can understand this, because we as married people, we have a view from 30,000 feet. You know, someone who is single can't tell you about marriage. And let me say it again. Someone who is single cannot tell you about marriage. And it's not because of marriage itself, but because they have not changed yet. They've not changed yet. Marriage changes you.
Right.
And you won't know it until you do it. It's like people that say what they'll do when they hit the lottery and things like that.
Right.
Well, you can say what you think you'll do, but you really don't know until it happens.
Exactly.
Because there's so many variables that goes along with that.
Right.
You know, or even having a child. You know, you can say how you will be, but until you are in that delivery room and that place, that little beautiful little baby in your hands, you don't know. And again, like a lot of guys, they're surprised about the feeling that come over them, you know, the experience of it. And that's why they call these things life events. So don't get it twisted. And we have to understand that marriage is the work of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Marriage is a God thing. God invented marriage. So marriage belongs to Him.
Right.
Right. And there's things that come along with that since it belongs to Him. And so as Peter 2:5 says, He also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So since marriage belongs to God and we come together in marriage at the altar, we are sacrificing ourselves up for marriage.
Wow. Say that again, babe.
We sacrifice ourselves for marriage, and we do it at the altar.
Oh, wow.
Right? We come to the altar.
Like, yeah, to marry.
To sacrifice ourselves.
Right.
For marriage.
Right.
For the sake of marriage. And there are two kinds of altar.
Mm-hmm.
There is the altar, A-L-T-E-R,
mm-hmm.
and there is the altar, A-L-T-A-R.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? They're both altar, mm-hmm. right? And they both have significant meanings when it comes to this topic, when it comes to an altar.
Right.
Because a altar, A-L-T-E-R, it is to make different. It is to modify. It is to change. Okay, altar, A-L-T-A-R, is a table or place which serves as a center of worship or ritual.
Okay.
In the form, again, of marriage.
Right.
Right? So you have to alter at the altar. You change.
Right.
So there's different ways that we actually sacrifice. And we sacrifice by denying self.
That makes sense, babe.
You know?
We sacrifice by denying self.
Mm-hmm. That's what that is. So before the altar, we are focusing on self. So it's very beautiful that you use that analogy of the beach and the water, because that represents the washing away of the old self, of the selfishness of self, mm-hmm. that you're no longer there. You're in a union with me, your husband.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So that's very nice. That's very nice.
I like that.
Because before the altar, we satisfy the flesh, and then we bring God in later. That's usually how a lot of people do it.
Mm-hmm.
We satisfy the flesh, and then we bring God in later. We make it about self-gratification and less about sacrifice, self-sacrifice.
Right. Unfortunately, that's true.
So a lot of times, you know, people can set themselves up because in the courting phase, like again, it's Valentine's Day, just kind of went through. We love those holidays because of we allow ourselves to let other people know how much they mean to us.
Right.
It's a unselfish holiday. We're doing something for somebody else mm-hmm. that we love and we care about.
Right.
That's what we really love about the holiday, about that event.
Right.
You know? And so when you think about that, I mean, it just goes back to you just being selfless.
Okay. I understand. Wow. And it is, that's why we say vows even.
Right.
Like, wow. So much clicked there when you mentioned that.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah. And the vow is the ways that you're going to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The things that you say you're going to do.
Right.
You know,
your promise and your covenant to the Lord and to your spouse.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. So God is establishing, like you said, God is establishing your covenant in the spirit at the altar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was saying before when I went through the altar, A-L-T-E-R, and altar, A-L-T-A-R.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is that you must alter to receive it.
Okay.
You must alter.
A-L-T-E-R.
Yes.
Right, to receive
it. You must alter yourself in order to receive it.
Okay.
The more you alter before the altar, the easier you can be one flesh after the altar.
How do you know what to alter, though? How do you know what to alter beforehand?
The word.
In preparation.
The word and spirit.
Okay. Amen.
It's self-sacrificing.
Amen.
Okay. If you are used to doing things your way, mm-hmm. and one of the main things you have to look at is lifestyle. There's situations to where someone will love just going out to the club every weekend. Every weekend. And that's fine if you're single, mm-hmm. right? But can you take that into marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Can you take that into marriage? Mm-hmm. That's the question. And so it goes back to these micro things that we do. We, again, you are having to alter, A-L-T-E-R, before you go to the altar.
Mm-hmm.
Because these things have to be altered in order for you to become one in your union, in one flesh.
Okay. Okay.
Because the goal is to also be one in spirit.
Right.
So we have to do away with the things of self.
Right.
So is programming yourself to not be so self-centered.
Mm. And there is so much sacrifice in marriage that you think about it. It's literally you're taking a vow to please the Lord through your marriage and your life and please your partner as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you die to yourself completely. Just like how we die to the flesh when we accept Christ. Jesus
right.
Christ is our Lord and Savior. We are dying to ourselves with our spouse in the sense that it's no longer about just us. It's mm-hmm. now a corporate, right?
Right.
Like you're a corporation with your spouse and with your family. So yeah. I think there was like, wasn't it something that it was like the 10 things that people expect after marriage or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. There was 10 common signs of resisting and experiencing change because we didn't fully alter, A-L-T-E-R.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which goes back to what I was saying before, like going to a club or whatever, right?
Okay.
So, you know, if sex decreases, if there's more arguments,
mm-hmm.
feeling a loss of identity,
mm-hmm.
financial disagreements,
mm-hmm.
less time at home, spending more time with friends, alone time increasing, weight gain, rejecting increased responsibility, taking each other for granted, and decisions made individually.
Yeah, those are all not so great. And those are not, that's not necessarily, were you saying, honey, that those aren't necessarily things that happen, but that's what people perceive happens after marriage.
Those are byproducts of not altering.
Okay.
You
wow.
see,
that's
because
powerful, honey.
These are things that most commonly go into marriage that kind of is a side effect of not altering because
right.
you're so used to doing things a certain kind of way. So it
right.
creates a byproduct. It creates a byproduct of more arguing about something, you know, the loss of identity. You know, if you feel like you're
right.
losing yourself because you're not doing X, Y, Z anymore or doing this, you know,
right.
Financial disagreements, you know, money not being aligned right, you know, decisions been made individually. That's a big one because
right.
you're responsible for someone else now, you know,
right.
And
exactly.
making those decisions outside of someone else and you
mm-hmm.
just making a decision yourself. That's selfish. That's
it
not.
Is.
Denying self,
right?
Right.
Right.
So again, that goes
so
back
powerful.
To altering. And these are some of the things that we see, you know, coaching, you know, couples and things like that.
Right.
You know, with things going on, side effects of not altering.
Mm-hmm. And people not being willing to alter, which, you know, can lead to irreconcilable differences, unfortunately.
Right.
You know, it's just two people. It's not so much that they're irreconcilable. It's that they refuse to submit to one another. Not submit is not the word I'm looking for. They refuse to alter, to alter themselves.
Right. Absolutely.
And the time to prepare and really gather the strength and the faith, the strength, the endurance that you're going to need in marriage, the time is singleness to do that. You don't want to wait until you're married to start preparing for marriage. You're going to be behind the eight ball so far. You want to start to prepare to be a spouse to your spouse while you're single, even if you don't even know who your spouse will be yet. Continue to prepare yourself in faith and in prayer, and the Holy Spirit will guide you and show you, and stay away from vices and strongholds and the walls of Satan, such as fornication and other various sins that can stumble your journey. And you'll find, if you do that, you'll find that once you cross that veil of marriage, that every ounce of preparation was needed, that none of it would be in vain. Nothing that you prepared for in your single season before marriage would be in vain.
Absolutely.
You'll be amazed. That's
absolutely
what I think.
You are 100% correct in what you're saying. I really agree with that.
Thank you.
Because you're going to need it. And a lot of times people think that they are prepared.
Right.
And they've done the work.
Right.
And there's still things that
exactly.
they're like, oh, you know.
Yeah, because they can't see, you know, they can't. It's like you had mentioned, there are some things you're not going to realize until you're over that veil, until you have transitioned. And not transitioned, I'm transformed. It's late
right.
here, you guys. But not until you've transformed into a spouse from being a single, a bachelor or a bachelorette, then that's when you'll know. That's when you'll be like, wow, I thought that I was so ready for this. Or even I thought I was healed from this, or, you know, I thought I had this, you know, together, all together in this way. And the Lord will test certain things about you to grow you into the person you need to become.
Absolutely.
Like, for example, I know I found resources on how to make a marriage work. And because I would search in a single season, I would search for info about how to make a marriage work. And because I wanted to prepare even as a single, okay, get tools for not only what's marriage like, you know, I would watch things on YouTube with couples and to kind of see what their life was like so I can prepare. But I also wanted to know tools like problem solving, communication, any other various hardships that could occur. How could I best prepare and handle those? And I found that there's very little out there that talks about what marriage is like on a day-to-day basis inside the actual union. Now, there's a lot of things about the wedding. There's a lot of things you can find a ton of stuff on Instagram about how beautiful all these beautiful weddings. There's a lot of engagement parties and proposals. You'll find some of the most beautiful proposals, some of the most beautiful weddings that you could ever see. At the same time, and that's wonderful. At the same time, that's an event. A proposal, an engagement is an event. Well, a proposal is an event.
Right.
An engagement is a chapter. A wedding is a party. It's an event. After all of those things, you have to live life with this person.
Absolutely.
Marriage is life. Marriage is God's ministry. So yeah, just knowing that and being prepared for that. And I found that there was a lot about there's a lot of things on the frills of marriage, such as the wedding party, the dresses, the venues, the rings, and so forth. But there's not much about how to traverse that journey in as a godly union. Does that make sense, honey?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that's the thing. God is wanting to bring you up together. He's right. wanting to, you know, I'll just read a scripture. Ephesians 2:19-21. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and as also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you are to be built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Amen.
So again, what's happening here is that we are at the altar becoming one. Mm-hmm. In God's holy temple, and he is bringing us together to dwell in us inside our marriage with us.
Amen. Okay.
And like you were saying before, everything is built around the external parts of the church, the external parts of the event, not the actual ceremony, what's going on inside the ceremony, what's going on inside the spirit. You know,
right.
And again, and this won't happen if we don't realize that we can't put old wine into new wine bottles.
So real.
Because what happens is that the scripture talks about it busting.
Right.
It talks about it not gelling together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So again, when you start to look at that into your marriage, that can tear down the marriage.
Absolutely.
Not being able to alter, not being able to go along with the new.
Absolutely.
Right? Oh, I thought you was going to sneeze or something.
Oh, no.
Okay. So,
no, I was just yawning, y'all. It's late here, but we are enjoying this podcast.
Absolutely. So in Luke 5:39, the old is just fine. Jesus' points seem to be that those who are content with the current way of doing things tend to resist anything new, even when it involves God's work of salvation. You know, and right. that's the whole thing, is that we have to be at that point. We have to alter to that point before we go to the altar.
Okay.
We must change for the new.
Right.
We must change for the new.
Wow. That's powerful, babe.
Absolutely. And we must allow our spirits to change so our bodies don't resist becoming one flesh.
Okay. I like that. I like the way that sounds.
Absolutely.
I love it. Amen.
So we have covered some ground here. And is there anything you want to add to it before we give them some tools from a tool shed to take back to their marriage and relationship?
Yes, I got one thing
okay. That
comes to my mind. You all, just as my hubby has said during our podcast here today, sometimes and many times, the old isn't designed to carry, I don't want to say that backwards. Many times the new is not designed to carry the old, which is why, and I don't know the verse, but it is also in the scripture where the Lord says, be not concerned of the things of the past, for I'm doing a new thing.
Absolutely.
When you mention the wineskins, I think about that as well. Like, okay, so, you know, the Lord is doing a new thing. Be not concerned with the things of the past. The old wineskins are the past. The new wineskins are the new thing. And many times, I believe more times than not in life, the new is not designed to carry the old baggage. It can be things, you know, old toxicity, old habits, you know, things that will harm your union. It can't hold. It can't hold that. So those are things that need to be healed and dealt with. Also, the more deeper things, the more serious things, they need to be healed and dealt with while you're single in your single season, as much as you can do so. There's also some of you, your spouse will help bring that healing for some of you.
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's not that you have to be, you know, don't feel like you have to be this complete self-actualized 100% perfect person. No, that's not what it's about. But you do have to make sure that you do your best with the work of the Holy Spirit to shed that old wineskin, you guys. And that's all. Nice. I can land there.
Absolutely. That's good, babe. That's good, babe. And so this week's twos is one is this: pray for God to reveal any areas you may be selfish in your union, any areas that you have not altered yet, any areas that you need to alter. Two, repent, ask for forgiveness, and work on those things. So we're gonna leave you with that, and We thank you for listening to our podcast. Again, if you have not subscribed, go ahead and subscribe. If you have not heard your topic yet, you definitely will. So just stay with us. And also, if you want to know more about the Marriage Fix and what we do here, you can go to our website at jamesnance.coach. Again, that website is jamesnance.coach. And you guys have a blessed week, and we will talk to you later.
Bye.
Subscribe to our podcast.
Have you heard your favorite topic yet?
If not, stick around. We might cover that next.
So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss it.
Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fail. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety."
Let us become one of your counsels in this life of marriage.
There are many voices talking from the world and from a life of singleness.
Don't let your legacy fall into the hands of unwise counsel.
How will you know? By the word of God.
Turn your marriage around and create the marriage God has for you.
Subscribe now to The Marriage Fix.